If you have ever made the loop around the mail room in the academic center, you have passed by and perhaps glanced at this poster which is on display here. It presents in artistic fashion a variety of names and titles that are ascribed to Jesus. Among other things, it speaks of him as the Lamb of God, as the Alpha and Omega, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And not surprisingly, it makes reference to him as the life. Two times, it quotes the Bible in referring to him as the resurrection and the life, and speaks of him as the way, the truth, and the life. I don't suppose this list was intended to be exhaustive, as lengthy as it is. There are other words and expressions that the Bible uses to convey the Lord's uniqueness and greatness. He often referred to himself, for example, as the Son of Man. He called himself the Door, and Scripture frequently refers to him as the Son of David. Then there are a couple other words that could be used to describe him, although I can say I'm not surprised by their absence. It would take a certain amount of nerve to include these words by anyone who loves the Lord and believes in him, for as biblically based as they are, they might initially seem out of place with the other titles that are currently in place. Nevertheless, they could be used to underscore a point, and perhaps that's why the editors of the Lutheran hymnal decided to show some nerve and included a couple of words with capital D's in referring to Jesus. It might have been with our text in mind that they decided to hit the shift key on the typewriter when writing out the familiar texts of "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," and "Christ the life of all the living." For in those hymns with capital D's, they refer to Jesus as death. And in "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," as destruction. Sounds a bit jarring, doesn't it, to refer to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life, and the hope of the world, as death and destruction. But anyone who annihilates something can properly be referred to as its death. And anyone who destroys something can certainly be referred to as its destruction. And Jesus did some serious annihilating and some serious destroying when he fulfilled his mission. In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote, "This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The work of our Savior involved much more than comforting the disquieted and calming the storms. It culminated in that dramatic confrontation that took place between the forces of darkness and the kingdom of light, the outcome of which would determine whether we faced an eternity of life or of destruction. Could the death, which left Christ a motionless corpse, keep him down? Could the grave which enveloped him keep him entombed? Or would Jesus, the Son of Man, break free, rise above all the forces of the adversary, strip death of its claim on humanity, and thereby destroy death itself? On the third day, the victor was revealed, and he was Jesus. He did break free from the grip of death, having paid for our sin, which is the sting of death, rendering it defeated, deflated, and dead itself. So Scripture declares, Jesus has destroyed death. He is the death of death and hell's destruction. Few words are as negative and dark as death and destruction, but they become wonderfully positive when we see Jesus killing and destroying our worst enemies. Perhaps you've heard the expression, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend." Never was that more true than in the case of Jesus. Our arch enemies, the devil, death, and hell, held all of mankind in their grip from the moment sin entered the picture, and there was nothing that we could do to break free. But Jesus appeared as the enemy of evil, the only one who could take on the foe. He was the only one who could make death and the devil and hell tremble. He did make the devil and hell tremble. And how wonderfully the enemy of our enemies served as our friend. It can actually be a bit of a challenge to know just which English verb tense to use in speaking of the destruction of death, a challenge that presented itself as I went online and was using an online concordance. When I punched in the words destroy death, the software came up with two passages, one of which is this passage from Timothy, which speaks of Christ, that Christ has destroyed death. But above it popped up 1 Corinthians 15:26, where the same writer, Paul, states, "The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Death has been destroyed. Death will be destroyed. Well, it turns out that the verb Paul uses in Corinthians is called a present passive form. Translated literally, it means the last enemy, death, is destroyed. And translated in that manner, it dovetails nicely with what Paul wrote to Timothy. Jesus has destroyed death in the sense that it's lost its grip. Its power has been leveled. Since he rose from death, death can now only feebly hold on to a person for a short time. It stands defeated, and its last remaining remnants are what will be removed forever when Christ returns. Yes, Jesus destroyed death, and now merely the shadows of death's former self, which do still linger and bring our earthly journeys to an end, will be obliterated forever. And as a result of Christ's conquest, Paul then flips the coin and reveals in our text the very positive consequences. This grace has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. As the death of death and the life of the living, Christ is the life of all the living because he is the death of death, our foe, as we sing in the hymn. Having wiped out the power of death and hell, he has liberated us now to enjoy life and experience life to the fullest. As the destroyer of death, Jesus is also the giver of immortality. After speaking of the way in which death and hell themselves will be thrown into the lake of fire, the book of Revelation says of our future, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Jesus is the life of all the living. He is also, thankfully, the death of death, our foe. He is the destruction of hell. The enemy, capital E, of our enemies is our friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. We sing of him as hell's destruction and the death of death in stanza 3 of hymn 54. 54, stanza 3.
Land me safe on Canaan's side.